الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام على سید المرسلین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Today, yet again, we have a very beautiful topic to discuss. But before that, as a reminder always, that you and I, we should always be grateful to our most merciful Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter your state, no matter your circumstances, always say Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. That all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single state and circumstances that I may be in. And when you do this, then you would see so much of barakah, you would see success in your life, in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. So Alhamdulillah, for today, our topic we will be discussing is advice is beneficial. Yes, advice is beneficial. And to discuss this beautiful topic of discussion, I have in studio with me none other than our most honorable guest, and that is Mawlana Abdul Qadir Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Nisa.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, mashallah. Mawlana Sahib, I hope your day has been going well so far.
Alhamdulillah,
mashallah. So, Mawlana Sahib, today we do have a very, I would say, beneficial, yes, of course, and I would also say a very important topic of discussion, and that is advice is beneficial.
Yes.
And inshallah, Mawlana, as we go along this topic, we will be mentioning some beautiful points of wisdom, beautiful accounts, etc. And also mentioning why is it not that some people can take advice, some people don't take advice. Inshallah, we will dive into this various different aspects, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Advice, seeking advice, taking advice, giving advice, it is very, very important in the life of a believer, in the life of a Muslim. And this is something that, you know, we have to always be careful that who we take advice from, where we take that advice. Of course, where we take the advice, it must be sound, it must be proper. The person who's giving us the advice, he must wish for our well-being. He shouldn't be having any hidden agenda of that sort. And nowadays, dear viewers of Madani channel, you may have come across some people in your life, perhaps. Maybe some of your family members, maybe some of your friends, or whoever they may be. But you may have come across such people who, when you have perhaps given them some advice, they turned a deaf ear to it. And they said that, why are you giving me advice? I don't need your advice. You can keep your comments to yourself. I don't need you to tell me what to do with my life. And we hear this. So today, we are going to be mentioning what are the disadvantages of that, and also together with it, what are the advantages of seeking advice. And also, MashaAllah, very, very beautiful is that the member of the Ahlul Bayt, that is Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually gave advice to his son. And when one looks at that, at the advice that he has given to his son, MashaAllah, you know, it's so beautiful that the advice which he had given, it's an advice for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, that advice is for you and I. It wasn't only for the son of Sayyidina Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but rather it was for you and I, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at large. But before we actually get into that, Musa, let us first understand this part here, the part of where people, or some people, they have a deaf ear towards taking in advice, right? So how can we, what sort of motivation, what sort of encouragement can we give to such people who just turn away from advice? If you have to tell them something, they don't want to hear. And if you tell them something, they feel that you have offended them. So in this perspective, Masa, how can a person be open-hearted towards accepting advice?
SubhanAllah, Sayyidi. Advice, giving sound advice is encouraged in Islam.
Right.
You just mentioned the example of Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, giving his son some advice. We also have the accounts of, Quranic accounts of advice given by Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam.
Right.
To his son.
Subhanallah.
We have advice of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi,
yes,
to his student Qazi Abu Yusuf rahimahullah.
Right.
We have the advice of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which he has documented.
Ayyuhal Walad.
I think the book's title
is Ayyuhal Walad.
Yes. Subhanallah. So these are various forms of different advices. And Amir Aswad Ahmad Barakatumul Aliya, he also has given advice. Subhanallah. And from time to time, he gives Madani advice via Madani channel, the medium of Madani channel, and especially Madani Mudhakara, Subhanallah, in the lights of Quran and Sunnah and the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, these advices can be life-changing.
Right.
For the one who's there to take.
And the one who does not really take into these advices?
Well, the loss is he is there.
So how is the mind kind of made up into being a recipient of taking advice?
Sayyidi, when your heart turns very hard, it becomes, heart becomes hard due to excessive sinning, and there comes a time when the heart stops accepting any advice. When you want to rectify somebody, then first see the scenario.
Okay.
Don't just go. First assess the situation, circumstance.
Right.
Like if those people whom you are going to impart some advice with, if they are ready, or if they are, let's say, accepting it. If you know, they will appreciate it if you say something, right? For example.
Right.
Like if you were to tell me something, I would appreciate it.
Likewise.
Right.
Right.
And I wouldn't like throw it away. And then you will feel comfortable rectifying me.
Right. Right.
But if you know that I was the kind of a person that no matter what you say, I'll just turn it around and throw it at you.
Right.
Right. Then you wouldn't be willingly giving me advice.
100%.
Although you know it's for my own good.
Right.
But I myself became a barrier in my own part.
Okay, okay.
Became a barrier in my own part. So about such people, he says that if the person is willing to accept the advice, and if you feel that your words will be heard and will be taken seriously, then it is recommended, it is actually necessary for you to do Amr bil Ma'ruf.
Subhanallah.
But if you know for certainty that by you telling that person to do the right thing, it will cause fight between you and him, and you will become enemies towards each other. Then in that case, abstain from giving advice.
So it's better to remain silent in that circumstances.
In that circumstance, somebody is coming to learn by you.
Right.
Right. And there's some things that, like, he's not properly attired the way he's supposed to be. But anyway, he's coming to learn aqaid by you, or salah, right? Laws of salah. That is fard ulum, right? Aqaid is the most important for the ilm, mm-hmm. then it is salah. It is also fard,
right,
to learn about salah. Now, you can overlook for the time being his attire, his sense of dressing, because your eyes are on the higher goal.
Right.
What if you were to say to that person, right, okay, I don't like the way you're dressed up. Come with your full garb and everything, right?
Right.
And then that person turns away.
He might lose hope eventually.
Yes, and he will stop learning first ulum. So what's more important?
For him to learn the first ulum in the attire that he has come in.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But if he was willing, then you could tell him. But if you see that, you know, there's this gap.
Right.
That if you tell him something, he might take it wrong. He might take it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And he would turn away from the fard ulum altogether. In this circumstance, you must devise a strategy. First, let him come close. Start teaching him. Then yes, if you are teaching him laws of salah, of course, the one of the six preconditions is one of them is satr.
Subhanallah.
Then you can properly educate him about that. And in that way,
right,
you can, with hikmah, with wisdom, you can rectify him at the same time and he wouldn't take offense to it.
Subhanallah.
In such cases, we have to be strategic as to how we are approaching somebody, how we are giving advice or imparting advice or doing amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar for that matter.
Subhanallah. So that was really, really beautifully said, Muasab. And it actually, it opens the eyes of many out there and also the ears of many out there for one to receive, for one to take heed to when you are being given advice. And for you to take that advice, it is very, very important, because advice, Muasab, at the end of the day, it's for the well-being of the next person, for the next person to become more better, for the next person not to be stagnant, but rather you give them that that advice for them to grow, so that they don't remain in the same place. They can grow and grow and reach great heights. This is why advice is there. Although, yes, if someone is giving bad advice, Muasab, can we say that, can we call that bad advice as well?
Yes, advice actually.
Or is advice only, it only pertains to good?
Okay. Bad advice, we can call it like evil whisper.
Ah.
Some kind of, you know. It shouldn't be called advice in the first place.
Right,
but
right.
Yes, people, you can associate the word bad advice.
Right.
Good advice and bad advice. Sometimes, yes, shaitan also gives you advice. Deadly advices. Yes. Shaitan will tell you, you're going for salah. Oh, what's the need to go for salah? You're waking up so early, it's cold. You're going to go all the way, make wudu and everything and put yourself in through all these difficulties. All this is advice.
But bad advice.
Deadly advice.
Deadly
yes.
advice.
Exactly. So, yes, we must filter it out with the lens of Sharia.
Yeah.
What Allah commands us, and what are the commands of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stick to the command of Allah because we are the believers. We are those who adhere to the commands of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So it's important that we keep these perspectives in our mind when it comes to giving advice, taking advice, and who we take the advice from. And subhanallah, when we look at Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells his beloved son that, oh my son, take my advice and remember what I am going to tell you. He tells him that, remember my words. And he says that if you do this, your life will pass well and your death shall be admired. Allahu Akbar. I mean, these are bold statements, beautiful and bold statements. And from this, if we act and implement these beautiful advices of Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we would also achieve this, inshaAllah. So the first advice, Muasab, that he gives to his son, he says that, my dear son, the wealthy is he who is satisfied with what Allah Ta'ala has distributed. Whoever keeps his eye upon the wealth of others, that person will die poor. As for someone who is not pleased with what Allah Ta'ala gave, it is as though he faults Allah Ta'ala's decisions. Allahu Akbar. And then he continues, he says, whoever considers his own mistakes to be small, considers the mistakes of others to be immense. And whoever considers his mistakes as immense considers the mistakes of others to be small. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So, subhanallah, ma'asab. This beautiful nasiha, this beautiful advice that Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave to his son, it's actually teaching all of us, you know, to develop contentment,
yes,
and satisfaction with what we have been granted, with what Allah Ta'ala has granted us, and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. That means whatever Allah Ta'ala put us, you and I, we should be happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, most of some people, the only thing that they are an expert in skillfully is to complain, Masab. And I must say that they have mastered this so well that's all that they know, Masab. Some difficulty came, some challenge came, and the only thing they know is to complain. Whereas if you have to really look deeper into it, the same difficulties that comes in life, if one takes it as a challenge, you know, and
yes,
and wants to, you know, says that, you know, I can do this, I can pull through this, because that same challenge, it's actually teaching the person. It actually makes the person stronger.
It's not a negative thing, really, to have challenges in life. Right?
100%.
It can be a very positive thing. For example, right, I was... some students, they approached me and they asked me, you know, we find it challenging to maybe, you know, to give bayan sometimes.
Right.
So I said, okay, what are the challenges? I said, okay, it's nervousness.
Nervousness.
Yes, nervousness.
Right.
You get cold feet.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, nervousness is one feeling, right? How you interpret it, that's what it becomes. Mm-hmm. Nervousness is just one feeling of you having maybe reluctancy towards something, right?
Right.
So at the same time, you can call it with two different words. It can either be nervousness, if you want to change it around, it can also become excitement.
Two things.
Yes. How you look at it.
Uh-huh. Right. Right.
Two sides of the same coin. You would still feel the same way when you are nervous, and you would still feel the same way when you're excited.
Yeah, correct.
You feel uneasy both the ways.
Right.
In both ways.
Yes.
Your breaths are upside down.
There's no two way about it.
Right. So your body reacts the same way to both the situations.
Right.
One is you are looking forward to something, and you are pulling back.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you say to yourself that, you know, it is, mashallah, such a beautiful opportunity. I'm going to learn something, and basically, it's a mock test, like learning to give bayan. And this is all fellow students. There's nobody outsider, there's nobody to judge you, because they're all going to go through the same thing.
Right.
So it becomes easy. And you get excited. Instead of becoming nervous, you get excited. For example, taking the challenges of life, right? One way of dealing with it is you are full of complaints, right? Oh, you know, I have to deal with this, I have to deal with that. And the other way is, you get excited about the challenges in life. There's something to look forward to.
Right.
You know, life would become very boring if there were no challenges.
100%. I mean, it would just be flat.
Yes.
The ups and downs, that's what makes life meaningful.
Exactly.
It gives it purpose.
Exactly. And if there are no challenges, there's no way of bettering yourself, basically. Improving yourself.
Right.
Self-improvement only comes from tackling those challenges in life, day-to-day challenges. And that's how you become experienced in your own field, whatever, with this work, life, business, anything.
And that's not something that you wait and you prepare for. You know, it just happens. And then in that moment, you got to, you know, automatically just react and respond to it in, of course, the right and appropriate way.
Exactly. I mean, when you're driving, no road is built straight, right? Unless you're going on a freeway, like, long stretches, maybe that also got bends and curves and everything. So it's like you're wishing all the roads in the world were straight. And why you have steering wheel? What's the purpose of it?
I mean, imagine if it was such the case, Master, you know, perhaps people would be sleeping while driving.
Exactly. So while there are bends, there are curves, there are, you know, turns and twists, that keeps things interesting.
Yeah.
Different views,
yes,
different routes.
Subhanallah.
So, alhamdulillah, life is like that. I mean, it's not a straight road. There are many ups and downs, and it can throw you off the cliff sometime. Mm-hmm. Then you get back up.
Yeah.
Now you follow the route. And then inshallah, if you persevere, you'll finally make it to your destination.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So even if a person, Wasab, is, no matter what the state may be or situation may be, even through difficulties, they should always be saying, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And they shouldn't be complaining. You know, they shouldn't be saying why. You know, this why is a very big problem, Wasab. Why has become everything nowadays? And I don't know how, but to some people, it sort of brings about some peace in their life when they say why, Mosab. How does one eradicate this big why from their lives?
Well, questioning is of two ways, right? Mm-hmm. One is trying to understand something, trying to wrap your head around something, looking for ways to internalize it. For example, something happened to you and you are wondering why it happened to me. That's fine.
Right? Normal.
That's okay, like you're contemplating over it.
Right.
You're going through the, you're holding yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening to me. Why? Why me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. I must have done something. Like if this bad thing happened to me, then it could be due to some reasons.
Right.
I could have done something that must have sprung back. Right?
The repercussions. Or fought back,
right. The repercussions of it. And then the other way is why when we are being object, when we are objecting to things.
Mm.
Oh, why me? Why it had to happen to me? So many people in the world, why me? Uh-huh. Why it had to happen to me? Now, that is now throwing tantrum. Mm.
Ah.
That's no more reflecting over the situation.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
That's throwing tantrum. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anybody.
Allahu Akbar.
But at the same time, it puts you and those around you into chaos.
100%, 100%.
Because you are creating a scene.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody likes that. We like peace, and once the peace is disturbed, then the person who disturbs the peace, he is in trouble. Those who around it are in trouble.
Yeah.
And as far as this negative energy reaches, it affects everyone's life. So is it really worth doing?
Not at all. I mean, if a person complains, it doesn't really remove the difficulty or the problem that's there. It doesn't do anything.
But if you reflect over it, right? Let's say, for example, you got a company, you're running a company, right? And checks and balances. Sometimes, maybe this month, you a deficit is gone way beyond the normal deficit that you would have usually, you know, wear and tear. And then you start to wonder, why? What happened? Now you are being objectively looking at it,
right.
Not complaining, but you are trying to pinpoint the problem and looking for a solution. That's not complaining.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you go out of your head, this happened. How come this happened? Right.
Right.
And that doesn't help the situation.
Not at all.
You're just creating a scene. You are in stress. The people who work for you, they are in stress.
And the energy is just getting wasted.
Exactly.
Hmm.
The same energy could have been put deploying constructive criticism that this has happened. This went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look for why it went wrong, the reason. Right. And try to fix the reason, inshallah, next 100%. Time it doesn't.
And even in that state too, a person should still be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
So this is very important, Masab, you know, especially for our views of Madani Channel, for those who might be out there, maybe perhaps in a circumstance right now, as we are talking, there may be someone out there who is going through some difficulties, some downs of life, but even in that state, as Masab has mentioned, take that in the light of positivity, you know, use it as a means to build yourself, use it as a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always say, whether rich or whether poor, whatever the case may be, always say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, and always show gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do that, then you would see how Allah ta'ala places so much of barakah in your sustenance. And normally some people usually think that when I have barakah in my sustenance, okay, my pockets are going to become heavy and my bank balance is going to be shining.
Yes.
But this is not necessarily the case. Barakah in your sustenance, barakah in your wealth. Wealth comes in many, many forms, in different forms. Sometimes it comes in the form of you having a peaceful sleep at night. Sometimes it comes in the form of you having a happy and united family. Sometimes it comes in the form of you having a pious spouse. Sometimes it comes in the form of you having obedient children. So wealth, it comes in various different ways, not only in pounds or in dollars or in rands or in notes or in coins. No, wealth comes in various different ways. So you and I should always show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is so much of blessings that Allah ta'ala has granted us. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never ever be able to do so. Quran teaches us this. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. So subhanAllah, this was the beautiful advice that Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave to his son. The second advice that he has given was, whoever, he says, my son, whoever reveals the faults of others has his own faults exposed. Whoever digs a hole for others falls into it himself. Being around foolish people, it makes one lowly and disgraced. As for whoever spends his time with scholars, he finds himself honored and esteemed. Whoever goes to evil places is labeled with accusations. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at this beautiful piece of advice that a father is giving to his son. Sayyidina Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is giving to his beloved son. He says, Masab, that not to reveal the faults of others, not to be exposing others, not to be digging a hole for others. You know, because a person who does that will fall into it themselves. And in this time, also, we see so many people going around. I mean, I don't know where they find the time, also. I don't know how such people find the time. But such people, you get, also, where they would point out every single detail of the fault. Not even the fault. This is together with the fault. The second aspect in all. That they would find, number one, the fault. Then the detail in the fault as well. So, Masab, how some people don't consider this as a major thing, Masab. Some people consider it as a very minor thing, as if it's, okay, it's time pass, it's just passing time, and they don't really take it serious. How serious is this in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masab, where it comes to exposing the faults of others?
Exposing the faults of others falls under backbiting. And backbiting is haram. One of the most gravest of sins. Sometimes it is compared with zina.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes. Ghibat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has likened it to eating your dead brother's flesh.
Allahu Akbar.
So this is that sin. And our pious predecessors, they wouldn't entertain something like that, right?
Right.
Somebody would come to backbite by them. They'd say, all right, you got this to say. I got no time for it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that, you know, somebody came to complain about someone, backbite about someone. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, I don't want to hear it. Because when I want to meet that individual, I want to meet him with a clear and clean heart.
Subhanallah.
Where I don't have anything against him. You are coming and putting doubts there.
Right.
Right. And this is the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah. Our response should be the same to the person who comes and he thinks we are going to entertain that person. No, we're not going to entertain you.
100%. Sorry. 100%. Yes.
Politely decline. And I've met some of those kind of people. I mean, their food doesn't digest until they, you know, until they malign somebody, until they backbite about someone.
Expose others.
Yes, gossip about someone. And they say, oh, juicy gossips. I mean, nowadays, people have, it has become a commonplace. People say, oh, what are you doing? We're just gossiping.
Like normal, yes. As if it's something, you know, like a habit or something.
Yes. And the advice says here, Sayyidi, that all the evil things that we do it to others will come back to you.
When a person wants to dig a hole for others,
yes,
they end up falling into it themselves.
Exactly. And if you expose the faults of others, your faults will be exposed.
Yes.
And vice versa. I mean, all the advices, right, they follow the same pattern.
100%.
And it is a universal law that what goes around comes around.
Kama tarino tudan.
Yes. And this is something very abstract.
Right.
Let's talk about something tangible. Laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
It is that every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Right.
You take a ball and you bang it on the wall. It will come back just as hard at you.
Yeah.
The faster you throw it, the harder it will come back at you.
100%.
What does that say?
What goes around comes around.
Exactly. And it will come back with the same intensity.
Ah.
Yes. So... Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has made this concept very clear, and he says, "Albirru la yabla wa zambu la yunsa wa dayanu la yamut." That good deeds don't get old, and the sins are not forgotten. And the one who is going to give the consequences of it, the good or bad, he will never die.
Allah,
meaning ad-dayan, Allah azza wa jal.
Right.
Ehmal mashita kama tabinu tuda. Do as you please. As you do, so shall be done to you.
Allahu Akbar.
It's a very universal concept,
yes,
given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala, he just gave this advice to his son. And he made him realize that you cannot walk scot-free and do wrong and think it won't come back to you. It will come back to bite you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Those were really, really beautiful and inspiring words, Mawasab. And that just goes to show the views of Madhuri, that you and I, we shouldn't be going around as time passes, you know, finding faults in others, exposing the faults of others. We should not be in the first place revealing the faults of others. Our duty as believers, our duty as Muslims is that we should only want good for others, and we should make every effort to be in the company of the pious and righteous ulama, the pious and righteous scholars of Islam. That this is what we should be doing. This is where our energy should be invested in, not in tale-telling, as we heard about Murasab has mentioned. So you and I, we shouldn't be acting like this. We should be covering up the faults of others. You see someone with a fault, don't go expose it. It will hurt the feelings of the person. It will break his heart. And you wouldn't like if someone has to do that to you. No one would like that. So just like that, we shouldn't be exposing the faults of others. Mawasab, as always, we do have a very melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, always when it comes to listening to the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it brings about great delight in our hearts. It brings about happiness in our life as well. So inshallah, let us go and listen to this beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further in this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mustafa, Mujtaba, Khatamul sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ghamzadon ke tum ho ghamgusar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, ae mere sarkar, tumhara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, ہمارا بگڑا ہوا کام بن گیا ہوگا, خدا کا لطف ہوا ہوگا دستگیر ضرور, جو گرتے گرتے تیرا نام لے لیا ہوگا, دکھائی جائے گی محشر میں شان محبوبی, دکھائی جائے گی محشر میں شان محبوبی, کہ آپ ہی کی خوشی آپ کا کہا ہوگا, اے میرے سرکار, اے میرے
سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار ہزار جان فدا نرم نرم پاؤں سے پکار سن کے اسیروں کی دوڑتا ہوگا عزیز بچے کو ماں جس طرح تلاش کرے خدا گواہ یہی حال آپ کا ہوگا کہیں گے اور نبی اذهبوا الى غیری کہیں گے اور نبی اذهبوا الى غیری میرے حضور کے لب پر انا لہا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار کوئی قریب ترازو کوئی لب کوثر کوئی صراط پہ ان کو پکارتا ہوگا مقام فاصلوں پر کام مختلف کتنے وہ دن ظہور کمال حضور کا ہوگا خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک خوشی ان کی چاہتا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار کوئی کہے گا دعائی ہے یا رسول اللہ تو کوئی تھام کے دامن مچل گیا ہوگا شکستہ پاؤں میرے حال کی خبر کر دو کوئی کسی سے یہ رو رو کے کہہ رہا ہوگا کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم کسی کو لے کے چلیں گے فرشتے سوئے جحیم وہ ان کا راستہ پھر پھر کے دیکھتا ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار نشان خسرو دین دور کے غلاموں کو لوائے حمد کا پرچم بتا رہا ہوگا غلام ان کی عنایت سے چین میں ہوں گے عدو حضور کا آفت میں مبتلا ہوگا میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے حسن فقیر کا جنت میں بستر ہوگا اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار غمزدوں کے تم ہو غم گسار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار اے میرے سرکار مصطفیٰ طبع خاتم الانبیاء.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. What a beautiful kalam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing advice is beneficial. And mashallah, Musab has shared some beautiful words of wisdom with regards to advice from a holistic point of view. And we have mentioned as well, who should we be taking advice from? It's important for you and I to take advice. We shouldn't be listening to anyone who tells us something bad, something that is contrary to the Sharia, something that is contrary to the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we have been covering some beautiful advices that Sayyidina Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has given to his son. We have discussed also, he gave the advice to his son to remain content, to remain satisfied with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to be exposing the faults of others, not to be digging a hole for others, otherwise you yourself will fall into that hole. So much of beautiful nasiha, so much of beautiful words from the member of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Mawasab, his next advice that he gives to his beloved son is, he says, my son, I urge you to always recite the Holy Quran. Spread the greeting of salam, call towards goodness, forbid from evil, mend ties with those who break them with you. If someone does not speak with you, go forward and speak to them first and give to whoever asks something from you. Allahu Akbar. Such beautiful words, Masab, such beautiful advice and nasiha to always recite the Holy Quran reviews of Madani Channel. There is so much of reward for every narration says, for every letter that you recite, there are 10 virtues for it. There are 10 rewards, 10 blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you for each and every single letter. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, I do not say that alif, lam and meem is one letter, but rather alif is one letter, lam is one letter and meem is one letter. So subhanAllah, imagine a person, imagine you take out even 10 minutes to recite the Holy Quran. You recite one page with its translation, with its commentary, with understanding. How much of thawab and reward is there for you by doing that? And the next point he says, Murasab, is spread the greeting of salam. And here, Murasab, I'm sure you may have come across some people who perhaps they hit a shortcut, you know, and they wouldn't really say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Rather, they would say assalamu alaikum. You know, they would shorten it and the words aren't really clear. So, Masab, what are rewards? How beneficial it is for a believer, for a Muslim to spread the salam? How is it encouraged so much in our beautiful deen of Islam, Masab?
Sayyidi, first of all, salam is that beautiful greeting. That is the greeting of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the father of mankind, and the Malaika. The conversation that happened, the greeting that happened. And then Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was told that this will be your greeting and the greeting of your offspring.
Subhanallah.
This is natural. We have this natural attachment to this greeting. I mean, this is the most natural greeting that is coming from the father of mankind.
Yeah.
Coming down from him. And it is better than any other greeting.
100%.
Right? First of all, salam is also one of the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salam.
Subhanallah.
And this same salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved Allah wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mother of believers. Subhanallah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, that Allah Azza wa Jal has conveyed his salam.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, Allah himself is As-Salam and Jibreel alayhi salam, peace be upon him.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And the salam is a very effective way to instill love and mahabbah in people's hearts. Allah Azza wa Jal has put this effect in these words of greeting. Because this is the greeting not determined by you and I, but this is the greeting chosen for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So there cannot be any better greeting than this.
100%.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very first message that he spread, that the very first sermon that he gave in Madinah Munawwara, that was to do with salam. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the very first time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Madinah Munawwara, there was this commotion. I hear it going to be the first address of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first address of Islam in Madinah Munawwara. So it was a historical event,
right?
And everybody from all streets, they are all gathering to hear the sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "Okay, well, I also went to hear. Let's see." And he heard the first address of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he narrates, and he said, "The first thing I heard, afshu salam, spread salam, wa ati'imu ta'am, and feed people, wasilu larham, and mend family ties." These are some of the advices that are within the advice of Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahimahullah ta'ala alayhi to his son. Then he says, wasallu billayl wa nasu niyam, and pray at night while others are asleep. Tadkhulul jannata bi salam, and you will enter Jannah in peace. Subhanallah. This was the address of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the historical address that he gave in Madinah Munawwara.
Subhanallah, 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 Muasab. That was really, really beautiful, really inspiring. And just to conclude the views of Madari channel, you know, there was a person that came in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Good morning." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and told him that this is not the greeting of the Muslimin, this is not the greeting of the believers, rather you should greet and say, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu." So spread the salam, teach to your children, to your family members, and this will instill love, muhabbah, and unity amongst your family members and the ummah at large, inshallah. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom.